Amen. Amen. Well, as we prepare our hearts for the word this morning, would you allow me to pray first and then go to the scripture? Father, as we get ready to open up your word, I thank you, Lord, that we have a church to gather and worship you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the word that we're about to receive this morning. And I pray today, Lord, as I preach it, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would just use me today to preach your word. That your word would come back, Lord, not void, but to bring life to someone here this morning. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for your resurrection that was only possible with your death. Because of you, Jesus, we now have the hope of eternity with God the Father in heaven. Father, I pray for anyone here this morning that may not even know you as their Savior, that they're just days and months and years away from eternity in hell. I pray, Father, that they would know that they're here today, not by accident, not by coincidence, but by divine appointment. I pray that you will knock at the heart of that person. And Father, that they would come to you in repentance and salvation. Now bless this word in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. The word of God says, Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so that they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went out to the tomb. And on the way there, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us? Notice that question. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robes sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus. Notice what this man said. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. But he isn't here. Come on, give God praise this morning. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. Father, bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can have a seat. As I was reading the story of Easter, resurrection, and in prayer about what I'm going to preach on Easter, I came upon verse 6, where the man standing in the tomb said to those women on that Easter Sunday, he isn't here. When I read that, I saw the Holy Spirit just press in my heart. That was today's message. The title of today's message is He Isn't There. Mark tells us it was Sunday. But not just any ordinary Sunday. It was the first resurrection Sunday. What should have been as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, what should have been a time of great joy for the disciples and Mary and all the other people that followed Jesus, what should have been a time of great peace and great anticipation Because Jesus said he would die and rise again. What should have been a day of celebration instead was a day of sorrow. That first resurrection Sunday was a day of discouragement. The Bible says that they were filled with fear so much that even that man in the tomb had to tell him, do not be afraid, do not be alarmed. That first resurrection Sunday was a Sunday of discouragement and fear and of hopeless defeat. And we know this because the Bible tells us that on that first Easter, on that first resurrection Sunday, we see these women who loved Jesus, who followed Jesus, who believed in Jesus, but we see these women hopeless. And we know this because the Bible tells us where they were going and what they were holding. Church, they were on their way to the grave. But you only go to the grave to see something that is dead. And they were holding spices. And the only reason that you would purchase spices and prepare spices, like the Bible says, it's because in the Jewish culture, you would get these spices and anoint the dead body to preserve it longer and get ready to bury it. So because these women are heading to the graveyard, and because they're holding these spices that's meant for dead people, it is a declaration that these women on that first resurrection Sunday, not only did they not have joy, did they not celebrate? Did they not have peace? But by the women going to the grave and holding these spices, they were declaring and preparing to see Jesus dead. They were preparing for the worst. In their mindset, because they were on their way to the grave and they were carrying these spices meant for the dead, they were saying publicly with their actions, it's over. It's finished. This is the end. And everything we hoped for and everything we did, we left everything for Jesus. We served Jesus. We loved Jesus. But did you see what happened on Friday? And Friday was so bad that the lady said, let's go to the grave and let's prepare some spices. You see, as I read that, I realized that you might be like these ladies today. And I know that it's Resurrection Sunday. And I know that it is a time to celebrate and have joy. But these ladies remind me that sometimes, even though it's Easter, you can feel hopeless. And even though it's the Resurrection Sunday, you can feel defeated. And I believe with all my heart that you're here this morning in church or you're listening online right now, and it may be Easter, but on the inside, you feel like you're on your way to the grave. And in your heart, you're carrying these spices because you're telling yourself there's no hope and it's over for me and this is the end and nothing good is going to come out of my life. And maybe you're here this morning and instead of joy, you're feeling the hopelessness these women felt. You're feeling the discouragement that these women felt. You're feeling the defeat. And when you look at these women's lives, it looked like it was over. It looked like it was hopeless. It looked like the devil had won. And maybe you're making that same declaration today that in your life right now, there is nothing to expect but failure. There is nothing to expect but misery. There is nothing to expect but sadness. There is nothing to expect but defeat. But in Jesus' name, Easter is a reminder that the best is yet to come because He has risen. But I wondered, This Resurrection Sunday, how many of you are declaring like this woman, it's over, and you're preparing to declare it dead? And you came to church with your little spices. I got some spicy people in my church that are living, walking like something's dead in their life. I'm talking to the one that maybe right now their marriage looks like you're preparing for it to die. You're thinking of divorce. I'm thinking about the parents that are raising a troubled teenager right now. And you're preparing for the worst. I'm talking to those that are sick right now. And you're preparing for the worst. I'm talking to those that had dreams and desires, but life hasn't gotten your way, and you're preparing for the worst. I'm talking to those, like those ladies, you might say, I love Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and I know it's Easter, but right now, Pastor, you don't know what I went through. You don't know the pain I've suffered. You don't know the disappointment. You don't know the pain God has caused in my life. And it's easy for you to sit on that stage in your pretty little suit and tell me that Jesus loves me and has a plan for my life, but you don't know what I went through. And these women were walking that first Resurrection Sunday, hopeless. Why? The women saw Jesus do miracles. The women heard Jesus preach. The women knew that Jesus was God. So why was it that that first Resurrection Sunday, these women got up early in the morning, not with hope and joy, but with misery and defeat? Verse 1. This is what the Bible says. Just that first word, let's all say it together. Saturday. One more time. Saturday. Come on, turn to your neighbor, tell him Saturday. Turn to your other neighbor, the one you rejected the first time, tell him Saturday. Saturday. No, we all talk about Friday, don't we? We talk about Friday because Friday Jesus walked to Calvary. Friday, Jesus was on the cross. Friday, Jesus' hands and feet were nailed. Friday, they put the crown of thorns. It was Friday that he got the 39 lashes. It was Friday that they mocked him and ripped his beard off. It was Friday that Jesus said, Father, why have you forsaken me? It was Friday where the disciples scattered and left him. It was Friday where everyone just mocked him. It was Friday where Jesus breathed his last breath. It was Friday where Jesus said, it is finished. But see, what I wonder, as I wonder, when Jesus said it was finished, and the women were there, the Bible says, and they heard Jesus say this, maybe in my mind, they heard wrong. And when Jesus said it was finished, we know that Jesus was talking about death and sin, and it was finished. The price had paid was paid for, and because of Jesus' death on the cross, we now have the hope of salvation, and we have now a way to the Father. And Jesus said, it is finished. That is it. Give him praise in the house this morning. He said, it is finished. And we know that. But what if when the women heard it is finished, they took it to mean the ministry was finished. They took it to mean that their hope was finished. That their future was finished. That their joy should be finished. You see, we talk about Friday. Because Friday was very difficult what happened. But just as difficult as Friday was Saturday. Saturday is just as hard because Friday represent what happened, and it was bad. Saturday represents what's not happening. Saturday was a day of darkness. Saturday was a day that God was silent. Saturday was a day that the people that loved Jesus were just waiting. Saturday was a day that nothing was happening. Saturday, nothing changed. Saturday, nothing got better. Saturday was quiet. Have you ever gone through a moment where it feels like God has gotten silent on you? See, sometimes it's not what happened that's so discouraging to us. But I believe I'm preaching to someone here this morning that you are discouraged because of what's not happening. And maybe you're praying for someone, but nothing's happening. Maybe you're believing for healing, but nothing's happening. Maybe you're believing for the salvation of a loved one that's lost, and nothing's happening. And God has given you a desire in your heart, but nothing's happening. You see, Friday represents what happened. And it was bad. But I believe these ladies, they prepared those spices and went to the grave because of Saturday. Because nothing was happening. And they're walking in discouragement. They're feeling hopeless. Sad. Saying it's over. Jesus said it himself, it's finished. Feeling like what they were doing was never going to change. But I came here with some hope for you this morning. I want you to look at verse 6 with me. But the angel said, don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. And notice what he said. You're looking for Jesus. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified Friday, who was crucified. But he isn't here. And I highlighted that because when I read that, I realized that sometimes in our lives, like these women, they went to the grave to see Jesus. But when they got there, they did not see Jesus. They did not see the Lord. And because they could not see Jesus, they were filled with fear. Other gospels say that they were assuming that the body had been stolen. They were assuming the worst. And I want to preach to someone here this morning, because I know that sometimes, even in my own life, it feels like God is not there. And you're looking at your life, and you're looking at your past, you're looking at your problems, you're looking at your disappointments, you look at your struggle, and you're saying, where is God in all of this? And like these women, sometimes you're going to feel like Jesus is not there. And it's no wonder you feel hopeless today. And it's no wonder the devil has told you it's finished, it's over. But see, when the angel said he's not there, it wasn't because God had vanished and disappeared and abandoned them. But the reason that Jesus was not there is because he was alive and a mighty miracle had taken place. So just when you think God is not there in your life, he's up to something amazing. He's up to something better. He's up to something you wouldn't even imagine. It was just the opposite. It was just the opposite. You see, they thought that Jesus was gone. You know how many people I talk to that feel like God is gone and God is not there and God, where is God in all of my problems? And sometimes like these women, you're not going to see the Lord, but it doesn't mean he's not there. It's just the opposite. He's working a mighty miracle. Jesus wasn't there. Then I remembered, said, wait a minute. How many people come to church feeling like Jesus isn't there? Where is Christ? And then I remembered how many miracles Jesus did where he wasn't there. I thought about the disciples one time. They were in a storm. You guys remember that story? The Bible says that Jesus, he wasn't in the boat with them. He was on the mountainside praying. He was watching. But Jesus was not there in the boat. And because he wasn't physically there, the disciples were afraid and discouraged and said, "We're going to die." But they did not realize just because they couldn't see Jesus doesn't mean a miracle wasn't happening. Jesus was on his way and he was about to calm the storm and he was about to amaze them. And I'm here to preach to someone this morning that says, "I don't see Jesus." So, who says we have to see him? We just have to believe he's there. We have to believe he's working. We have to believe something good is happening. And just because he wasn't in the boat doesn't mean he wasn't watching. I thought about Lazarus. And Lazarus had died. For 4 days, Jesus was not there. And even Mary said, "Had you been here," saying, "You weren't there." But even though Jesus was not there, those 4 days, on the fourth day, Jesus still showed up and raised him from the dead, which means that even though you don't see Jesus, doesn't mean it's over. Or even the centurion servant who was sick and paralyzed and dying in the house. And the centurion said to Jesus, "You don't have to be there at my house to heal him. Just say the word." You see, he understood that just because I'm not going to see you, Jesus, just because you're not there and I don't see you doesn't mean your power is not evident and can work in my life. And he raised the servant and healed him. Folks, don't make the mistake that because you don't see God in your life means that it's over. The Bible says we live by faith and not by sight. And just because you don't see the Lord, you have to have the faith and what he said in his word. The people, the women forgot what Jesus said. Even in the other gospels, the angel said, "Do you not remember what he said?" And how many times do we live by sight and what we don't see and we forget the word of God? "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I have a plan for your life. I am able to do far more, immeasurably more than you ask or even think or imagine." God is doing the impossible. But how many times, like these women, do we feel like he's not there? These women said, "He's not here." But how many of you are glad that Jesus wasn't there in that grave? Because if Jesus was in that grave, it would have meant he was a liar. He was an imposter. He was a hypocrite. He was a sinner. He was a fake. But because he was not there, it meant that he was God. He was the Messiah. He was the healer. He was the salvation. He was the one that was to come. He is the way to the Father. He is the one and the only one. He is Jesus. And that's why he's not there. Don't lose hope because you think he's not there. Easter is a reminder that you may not see him. And you may be preparing for the worst and thinking it's over. But Jesus is God. And Jesus died and he rose. And I'm going to tell you this Easter that like these women, maybe you come to church discouraged. You come to church hopeless. You've come to church thinking that nothing good is going to come out of your life. And I'm talking to someone here this morning saying, "I don't see the Lord." And just because you don't see him doesn't mean a miracle is not happening. Doesn't mean that something good is coming. I love what the man said to the woman. Remember, these women are defeated. They're hopeless. Verse 7. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going where? Ahead. That spoke to me. Because the man told the women that just ahead, you're going to see Christ. Just ahead, you're going to get your joy back. Just ahead, you're going to see a miracle. Just ahead, you're going to see the impossible. This man literally gave the women a heads up. He said, lady, heads up. God is about to do something good. Heads up, lady, because right now it looks bad, but just ahead, there's a mighty miracle and you're going to see Jesus. And that is the hope that we have as Christians, that in this world when we die, ahead of us is heaven and salvation and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Just ahead. And I ask you today, what's ahead of your future? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what's ahead is glory. It's heaven. It's eternity. It's eternal peace. It's salvation. But if you don't, let me give you a heads up. It's hell. It's eternal damnation. It's suffering. It's agony. It's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's eternal punishment. Just ahead is up to you. Church, it might be Friday. Something bad has happened to your life. It might be Saturday for some of you. That nothing is happening. And God is silent. And I don't see Him. And I've lost my joy and I've lost my peace. But don't give up. Because just ahead, Sunday was coming. Just ahead, Sunday, where the sorrow would end, where the devil would be defeated, where Jesus would win. Just ahead. And I want to preach to someone here this morning that feels like it's over. That feels like it's over and hopeless. And you don't know my life. You don't know what I've gone through. And I don't see God. Where is God? But just ahead, God can change your life. And those women, when they left that graveyard, they saw Jesus. And I want to close with this morning. As these women were walking, and they saw Jesus, instantly, their joy returned. Instantly, their hope was restored. Instantly, they saw Jesus standing. And Jesus said, why are you crying? Why are you sad? I'm alive. Right here. And when they saw Jesus alive that Easter, can I tell you, if I were in that group of women, I would have realized three things. You ready? I would have realized I wasted my time. Rabbi, what do you mean by that? Because he's alive, you wasted your time preparing spices, did they not? Because you only prepare spices for what's dead. So you were preparing, crying, oh, Jesus is dead, it's over, it's finished. And you were preparing spices for nothing because he was alive. And some of you are wasting your time, sorrowful, depressed, discouraged, sad, hopeless, defeated, when you serve a risen Savior, and because he's alive, you have the hope that you will stand in miracles too. Because the Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside you. And I'm talking to all my Christians. I'm talking to the true believers of Jesus Christ, the real followers. Why are you crying? Why? You know who cries? People that think it's dead. It's over. They wasted their time crying. And I want to preach to those today first. I'll get to the lost people now. But I want to preach to those that know without a doubt Jesus is alive. You've repented of your sins and you serve him. And you know you're on your way to heaven. But if you're on your way to heaven, why are you living like you're on your way to the grave? Why are you living like it's over and hopeless and depressed? You need to remember Jesus and you need to know that if God raised Jesus from the dead, that same power is in me. And he's going to lift me up again. He's going to do miracles in my life. Now, can I preach to the lost people? They wasted their time going to the grave. You only go to the grave for dead people. But Jesus is alive. So not only did this lady say, man, we wasted our, that was good spice too. That was the best spice of my mama's recipe. No, not only did they waste time making spices for something that was not dead, they wasted time walking to a place where Jesus was not in. They wasted their time. And the angel said, you're looking for Jesus. Look at verse 6. Put it up there, Gabby. Verse 6. The man said, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus. Can I tell you this morning, this statement is so true today, even today, 2,000 years later. You're looking for Jesus, aren't you? You know that everyone in this world is looking for Jesus? Did you know that? No, I'm not. I'm an atheist. You're looking for Jesus. How do you know? Because in every man, there's a common desire that everyone seeks. It's purpose. It's identity. It's security. And it's love. And all four of those can only be found in Jesus. But you know what the problem is? It's that so many people are looking for Jesus, but they're looking for Jesus in dead things. You're looking for purpose in things that have no life. You're looking for identity. You're looking for security. You're looking for love. And you're going to places that are dead. Don't waste your time on things that aren't going to raise you, that aren't going to fill you, that aren't going to give you purpose. Don't waste your time on the relationships and the drugs and the alcohol and the pornography and the world and wonder, why am I still dead? Because you're looking for the right one in the wrong places. Now let me preach some gospel to you this morning. They wasted their time worrying about the stone. The women said, What are we going to do? Who's going to roll the stone away? It's too heavy. We can't do it. We need strength. We need someone. And I realize today, we live in such a lost world that's not only looking for Jesus in the wrong things, but there are people trying to get to Jesus by their own strength. Come on, somebody. These women were trying to figure out, how are we going to get to Jesus? And they tried it on their own strength. But when they got there, they saw the stone already opened. Why? Because Jesus already took care of it. And so many people in this world are lost, wasting time, trying to get to Jesus by their own strength and effort. Trying by their own merit. In Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 says this, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, that even when we were dead in our transgression, it is by grace you have been saved. It is by grace you have been saved. Look at verse 8 with me, church. The Word of God says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not, this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. It is not by works. It is not by you being a good person, relying on your own ability, relying on your own strength, that you're going to get to Jesus. Understand that Easter, like the same way the storm was rolled away because Jesus took care of it. The cross and the resurrection means Jesus took care of it. So when He said it is finished, stop trying to be a good person. No one is good, the Bible says. Not even one. That's why we needed the mercies of Jesus. We needed His grace. And Jesus did it already. Stop trying to do what Jesus did. So many of us trying to get to Jesus, and He made a way. Stop wasting time. Stop wasting time. Spices were a waste of time. Going to the grave was a waste of time. And trying to figure out how I'm going to get to Jesus and roll the stone was a waste of time. And Easter reminds me of jumper cables. You see, you only take this out when you're stranded, stuck, because you have a dead battery with no power. But when the battery is dead, your first thought should not be, it's over, it's hopeless, let me chuck it out the window, let me just throw it away. No, you know, when the battery is dead, all you need to do is connect to a higher source of power. And when that person connects to another battery with power, the power that's in the battery is transferred over to the battery that's dead. And now the battery that was dead is now alive. It is now strengthened again. Now has power again. Why? Only because it was connected to something that was right. A higher source of power. But I'm afraid that in this church or online right now, there's a lot of you that are dead. Spiritually dead. Hopeless. Lost, on your way to hell. And you know you're dead. You know you're empty. You know you're hopeless. But what you do makes no sense. You see, if I had a dead battery, it wouldn't make sense for me to go and connect it to another dead battery and then wonder, I wonder why it ain't working. Stupid battery won't work. Why am I still empty? Why am I still drained? Why am I still stuck? Why have I no power? Because you're connecting it to something that's just as dead as the other battery. So we have a bunch of hopeless people in this world trying to plug into things that are dead. Well, maybe if I have success, I'll be happy. Maybe if I date this girl, I'll be happy. Maybe if I marry this man, I'll be happy. Maybe if I look at this porn, I'll be satisfied. Maybe if I do this drug or drink this bottle or smoke this joint, yeah, it's 420, yeah. Oh, and then maybe if I connect to the world and I do this and you go and connect and then wonder why. Why am I still empty? Why? Because the Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can live inside you. The only power you need in your life that's going to give you hope, salvation, Jesus. And like these women, you're looking for Jesus in dead things, in dead places. Don't waste your time. He's not there. But He's here waiting for you at this altar. And for all of you that know Jesus, and just ahead, you know you're on your way to heaven. But right now, like these women love Jesus. They were born again. They were saved, but they were hopeless because they forgot who they were connected to. They were connected to Jesus. And I want to tell someone here today, there is power inside you. And that power is not of yourself. It is by God. And God's going to give you the power to do the impossible. So don't lose hope and don't give up. Come on, give Him praise this morning. Let's all stand to our feet today. With every head bowed right now. No questions asked, but this. The women prepared for Jesus' body to be buried. And the angel told them, just ahead, salvation. Just ahead is Jesus. And first of all, I want to ask you this question. You prepared spices to prepare the body for death. Here's a simple question today. By a show of hands, how many of you are prepared to die? Knowing that when you die, you'll be with heaven in heaven with Jesus Christ because of your repentance and because of your faith only in Jesus. Not by, if you're telling me, yeah, I'm ready to die because I'm a good person, because no, you're not ready to die yet. You can put your hand down. See, I noticed some of you couldn't put your hands up. And that's okay. At least you're honest. And the angel said, just ahead is Jesus. And my prayer today is that when you die today, if you were to die today, just ahead, you'd be in heaven with Jesus. So today, as Frankie leads us at that song of the altar, I want those that think right now, I don't know if I'm saved, I don't know, and I've been plugging into dead things, and I'm wasting my time, and I'm still empty inside. If you feel that way today, I'll tell you this with love. It's because you are not saved, you are not born again, and the Holy Spirit is not living inside you, but it can be. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I am saved, I am born again, but like these women, I'm going through a dark season of discouragement and hopelessness and depression. But today I need that power that raised Jesus from the dead to really come alive in my life. And that's you today. And if you're here and you want Jesus, or if you're here and have Jesus, but you're saying, Pastor, I'm hopeless, would you come to this altar right now as Frankie leads us to this song? You come to this altar right now. In Jesus' name. Because it's in this altar where salvation and healing and strength is found. And I'm preaching to those today that feel hopeless, that feel lost. And like these women, you don't think Jesus is there. But He is. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for all those today that want to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Those here today or those listening online. If this is you this morning, would you pray this with me? Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm dead inside. I am spiritually dead. And without You, I will remain spiritually dead. Today, Lord, I ask You to forgive me of my sins. For I believe You died and rose today. You rose again, Lord. And it is only by grace that I am saved. So today, Lord, in faith, I trust in You, Jesus, to save me. And Father, I pray for those here today that know You as Savior, but feel lost and hopeless. That know You as Savior, but are going through a Saturday right now that they don't see You. That they don't know what's going on. That feel like it's finished. I'm preaching to those that think it's Friday right now and they're going through it right now, the pain and the suffering. Father, we need that power that raised You from the dead. And I pray that power to raise someone here this morning. To raise their hope, to raise their encouragement. I pray that You would bring a resurrection in families today, in marriages today, in children today, and people that are sick today, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and did the impossible is still alive today and active in the church. And I pray for those in the church right now that need that resurrection power in their personal life today. Father, we just pray and surrender for this in the altar, and we let it go in the altar now, knowing, Lord, that Friday hurts, Saturday is discouragement, but Sunday, Father, is just ahead, and just ahead will be Jesus in glory, in miracles, doing the impossible. So let us not grow weary, let us not lose hope, for Easter is a reminder that we will conquer, we will win, and we will have the victory in Jesus' name. Give Him a shout of praise today in the house. Amen and amen. Come on, give Him a real praise this Easter. If you're here today and you're saying, amen. You guys may be seated this morning. I want to thank you all for joining us today.